Let's look tonight again at 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. For there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. I'm beginning my message again with this text, which declares that Jesus Christ is the one mediator between God and men. He is the perfect mediator, seeing that he is both God and man. And he is declared in Hebrews to be the mediator of a better covenant. And that better covenant is the everlasting covenant, the covenant of grace, the covenant under which we are saved, those who are his chosen people. As a mediator, we have seen that he has three offices. He's the prophet, he's the priest, and he is the king. In the Old Testament history of the nation of Israel, we see these three offices developed in that same order: prophet, priest, and king. And we always refer to these offices in this order: prophet, priest, and king. Abraham was the first man to be called a prophet. And he was, of course, the progenitor of the nation of Israel. God called him a prophet. And then after 430 years, more or less, we know that with the giving of the law, the office of the priest, the high priest especially, came into being. And then it was several hundred years later, I believe, that the first king was anointed, that is Saul of Israel. So we see that progression in the Old Testament history of Israel: prophet, priest, and king. And then when we open up the New Testament and begin to read about the Lord Jesus Christ, we see the same in his life, that he was first of all a prophet in the sense that he came preaching. That's what the first chapter of Mark declares unto us, that he came preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And then we think about his crucifixion, when he acted as a priest, offering himself as the one sacrifice upon the altar of his deity. The one sacrifice that the apostle tells us in Hebrews chapter 10 puts away all sin by that one offering, perfected forever them who are sanctified. Then, of course, at his resurrection and his ascension into heaven, his exaltation, he is declared and manifested to be God's king. He appeared unto his disciples after his resurrection, declaring, "All authority, all power is given unto me, both in heaven and in earth." Now, we've looked at his office as prophet, priest, and tonight as the king. And of all of these offices, for myself at least, this seems to be the most difficult to deal with, his office as a king. And the reason being, first of all, because he's God the Son. We know what a king is. A king is a ruler. A king is a monarch. And he is God the Son, who has always ruled over all things. Never as God the Son, along with the Father and the Holy Spirit, there never has been a time when he has not been the sovereign ruler as the Son of God. And then a second reason it's difficult is because this subject is so vast. It's so vast, the fact that he is King of Kings. And it's going to take not only tonight, but another message at least for me to bring concerning Christ in this office as King. And tonight I would like for us to see these four truths about Christ as the King. First, it was prophesied that he would come as a king. It was prophesied through the Old Testament that he would come as a king. And I'm going to skip over the first prophecy of him that God gave in the Garden of Eden, prophecy that we're all very familiar with, Genesis 3 and verse 15, the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head. Now, when you think about it, that foretold him to be a king, prophesied that he would be a king. The seed of the woman would be a king because he would act in power. That is to bruise the head of the serpent. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, the apostle said, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." For this purpose he was manifested. For this purpose the Son of God came into this world. Why? That he might destroy the works of the devil. Yeah. Remember, our Lord said he was a liar and he was a murderer from the beginning. And he came to destroy his works, to defeat death and sin and hell. I want you to turn with me to Numbers, the book of Numbers. We're going to look at a few of these Old Testament prophecies. I'm saying, first of all, it was prophesied that he would come as a king. Here in Numbers, if you will, chapter 24. And these are the words of a false prophet. A false prophet. His name was Balaam. But the important thing to see is that God put these words in his mouth. He said some of the most glorious things about God, didn't he? And yet he himself was a false prophet. But he did so because God put these words in his mouth. Numbers 24 and verse 17, he said, "I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth." A scepter shall rise. You notice that word scepter is capitalized, isn't it? Speaking about a person. Do you have a scepter? I don't. I have a lot of things at my house, but that's one thing I don't have. And I doubt that any of you have a scepter. Why? Because scepters are something that display the authority of rulership, a monarch. I know that if you've watched any news in the last week or two, you have seen the coffin of the Queen of Elizabeth, and on that coffin were two things, a crown, a beautiful crown with all kinds of jewels, and a scepter. And in that scepter, I remember we saw that scepter when we were in London. There is one of the largest diamonds in the world. She had a scepter. She had a crown. She was a queen. A scepter. This prophecy speaks of Christ, the ruler who would come out of Israel. A king would come. We know that he is the king. And, you know, it says before that, it says a star. There shall come a star out of Jacob. Now, many people believe that it was this prophecy concerning this star that the Magi, or the wise men who came seeking the Lord Jesus Christ at his birth, it was this prophecy that caused them to follow, to be looking for a star, to see that star and to follow that star. And do you remember their question when they came to Jerusalem? Their question was, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews. For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Now, the answer, of course, the religious leaders, they looked up, and let's look at that place that they looked at in Micah chapter 5, so that they could answer the question of the wise men, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Well, they came to Micah chapter 5, didn't they? And verse 2, but thou, Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, but thou, excuse me, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee, now notice this, shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, who is to be ruler, a king. It's prophecies concerning the Lord Jesus Christ who would come unto God Almighty, come forth to him and to be ruler in Israel. Whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. You know who that is. We all know that is speaking of the Son of God who was made flesh, came into this world, who was born a king. And if you look down in that same chapter, Micah chapter 5, down to verse 4, we read, and he shall stand and feed. You notice in the margin of your Bible, if you have a marginal reading, he shall stand and rule. This one that would come forth, this one who's prophesied to be born in Bethlehem, that would come forth unto the Lord God Almighty to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. He shall stand and rule in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide. For now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. If we take the word that is in the text here, in the translation, I should say, he shall stand and feed, it makes us remember that many times the kings of Israel were called shepherds. The shepherds, a king over Israel, a shepherd. And included in this text here and in this word feed or rule, it speaks of Christ as the king who feeds the people. And that includes everything that a shepherd does for his sheep. Everything. Everything that a shepherd does for his sheep. What does he do for them? Well, first of all, he finds them, doesn't he? He finds them. We didn't find him. He found us.
That's right.
As sheep going astray. He finds his sheep. He conquers his sheep. He gives us a heart to follow him. By nature, men despise him. We'll have nothing. We will not have this man to reign over us, to rule over us. He finds his sheep. He conquers his sheep. He leads his sheep. So thankful tonight to know that the Lord God leads us through this world, aren't you? Through this wilderness. Just like in the Old Testament, the children of Israel, they were led through the wilderness by that pillar of fire and that cloud. So the Lord leads his sheep and he rules. He rules. He's a king. He reigns. He protects. He protects his sheep. He keeps his sheep. Everything that a shepherd does for his sheep, the Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of his Holy Spirit, he does for his sheep. They were given to him by the Father in that everlasting covenant of grace. But the point is, These prophecies of the Old Testament spoke of him as coming as to rule, a shepherd, to reign, to rule. And then look back to probably a better known passage in Isaiah chapter 9. In Isaiah chapter 9. For unto us, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. There we see his two natures, don't we? He's a child who is born, but he is a son, the eternal Son of God who was given. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And notice the very first thing that is said about him is, the government shall be upon his shoulder. The government. It speaks of him as ruling, reigning. The government shall be upon his shoulder. Remember, you read about the key of David. There was a key, evidently it was an insignia of some kind that was placed on the shoulder of a ruler. And the Lord Jesus Christ appeared in Revelation chapter 1 to John with the key, didn't he? The key of death and hell. He is a ruler. He was prophesied to come. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. And notice the Prince of Peace, the King of Peace, the Prince of Peace. According to Strong's Concordance, that word that's translated prince in this text means a head person, captain that had rule, chief captain, general, governor, keeper, lord, master, ruler, steward. Could have been translated in any one of those ways, but all speaking of the fact that he is a king. It was prophesied that he would be a king. And then look in the next book, in Jeremiah chapter 23. And verse 5 and 6. I've got the wrong. It helped to get in the right book. Jeremiah chapter 23. I was in Isaiah. Didn't look right. Verse 5. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David's a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. So that's the first point I wanted to make tonight, is it was prophesied that he should come as a king. Second, it was announced that he came as a king. Look with me, if you will, in Luke chapter 1. It was announced that he came as a king. In Luke chapter 1, we have the angel Gabriel appearing to Mary, the Virgin Mary. And basically, repeating that prophecy that we looked at there in Isaiah chapter 9. But in Luke chapter 1, verse 31, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and of the Lord, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. When you read that he shall reign over the house of Jacob, we're talking about spiritual Israel here. We're not talking about national Israel. Yeah. We're talking about spiritual Israel. God's elect, God's chosen people. He reigns over Jacob. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. This refers to spiritual Israel here. But notice in chapter 2 there of Luke chapter 2, that was the angel telling Mary that she should have a son and that he should reign upon the throne of David, and of his kingdom there should be no end. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 7, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The Lord. You see, he was born King. He was born Lord of Lords and King of Kings. I remember Brother Rolf Barnard used to say, you can't make him King. God's already beat you to it. He's God's King. He's God's King. He was born King. He was born Christ the Lord. So it was announced that he came as King. And third, it was acknowledged that he came as a king. Now we've already seen that the Magi, the wise men, asked where is he that is born King of the Jews? But let's look at the fact that after his baptism, he was immediately recognized as a king. Now, we know that in the Old Testament, the kings, just like the priests and the prophets, they were anointed to that office. And of course, they were anointed with oil. God sent Samuel to Jesse's house, you remember, to anoint him a king, one that he had chosen. And of course, I think Jesse had, what was it, 7 sons, and 6 of them passed before Samuel finally asked, is this all of your sons? No, there's one out. There's one left that's out taking care. Wouldn't you know it? He was a shepherd out taking care of the sheep. And so he was brought in. And what happened? Samuel poured the oil upon his head, didn't he? He anointed him to be king. Now, that oil, of course, pictured God the Holy Spirit. It was at his baptism, the Lord's baptism, that God the Holy Spirit came upon him in the form of a dove and remained upon him. So he was anointed to this office of king, not with oil, but with what that oil pictured, that oil was a type of God the Holy Spirit. And look with me in John chapter 1. And this is very early on, because you know in John chapter 1, this is when John the Baptist pointed him out, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And then the next day, just a few days later, notice here in John chapter 1, in verse 45, Philip, he's one that I believe Andrew and John, they followed the Lord Jesus Christ after John pointed him out, and then Andrew found his brother, Simon, and brought him to Jesus. And the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Now, Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter, Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Evidently, Nazareth had a bad reputation as a town. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Well, Philip, I love the way Philip answered. And this is the way when you meet objections, when you're witnessing to others about Christ, come and see. Come and see. Come and see. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. So what am I saying? I'm saying that he was acknowledged as king. He was prophesied to come as a king. It was announced that he came as a king, and it was acknowledged that he came as a king. This was very early on, as I said, after his baptism, after he began his public ministry. And then at the end of that ministry, look back to Luke chapter 19. And this is on the first day of the crucifixion week. The first day, Sunday, of the week in which he would be crucified on Friday. So we've got at the beginning of his ministry, Nathanael's testimony that he was the King of Israel. And now here at the close of his ministry, plus we're not going to see this tonight, but remember Pilate had that sign printed on his cross, the King of the Jews, in three different languages. But here in chapter 19, verse 29, it came to pass when he was come nigh to Bethphage, and Bethany at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering you shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. If any man asks you, Why do you loose him? Thus shall you say unto him, Because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, Why loose you the colt? And they said, The Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt. They set Jesus thereon, and as they went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that he had done, saying, Blessed is the King. Blessed is the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. That, of course, we know fulfilled that Old Testament prophecy in Zechariah. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy King cometh unto thee. He is just, having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass and upon the foal of an ass. And the last thing, it was confessed by him that he came as a king. It was confessed by him, by Jesus, the Lord. He confessed that he came as a king. He confessed that to Pilate. If you look there in Luke chapter 23, verse 1, and the whole multitude, Luke 23, verse 1, the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, We found this fellow perverting the nation, forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, the King. And Pilate asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? He answered him and said, Thou sayest it. In other words, that's correct. He was. He confessed to be the king. I pray that the Lord would bless these verses to all of us that we've looked at tonight and help us to